The 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
Hi, all. Hi, all. Thank you all for coming this day. Let me introduce all the people we have here, very important people. First of all, the Honorable Joseph Werner, Minister of International Cooperation and Minister for La Francophonie and Official Languages. The Honorable Dr. Frank, Minister of Health, Mexico. Thank you for being here. Her Excellency Xiomara Castro de Celaya, First Lady of Honduras. Dr. Pierre Piot, Executive Director, UNAIDS. And Mr. Julian Bond, Chairman of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And our young leaders, thank you all for coming. And they are going to introduce themselves, so please do. Your name and country. You have a mic? You do have a mic. Yeah.
Hola, soy Ricardo Baruch de México. Yo colaboro con MEXFAM y PPF, así como con la Coalición Global de Jóvenes. Yo comencé trabajando con derechos sexuales y reproductivos y me di cuenta de cuán importante es que liguemos este enfoque a todas las intervenciones relacionadas con el VIH-Sida.
Link these issues to HIV.
Hi, good morning everyone. My name is Frika Chia Iskandar. I'm from APM Plus, Asia Pacific Network of People Living with HIV and AIDS. I myself live in Indonesia and I'm 24 years old. Here I would like to address about the involvement as a young woman living with HIV and AIDS. I think it's important that we really involve young women and also young people, especially young people living with HIV and AIDS in the response, because we do have key roles. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Alicia Ross from Australia. I'm the founder of Australia's Youth Education Service, HIV on HIV, called YEAR, Youth Empowerment Against HIV AIDS. YEAR is our way of giving young people an opportunity to do two things: to understand what HIV is and to know that they can do something about it. I guess for me, when we talk about adult and youth partnership, the key words for me are not youth and it's not adult. It's actually partnership. That's the only way that we're going to move forward with new initiatives so that this younger generation does have an important role to play in the way that we're combating HIV.
Hello, my name is Makoti Edwin. I am from Tanzania and I work with Youth Change International. Many people have already been infected and are still see many at risk and don't know how to protect themselves. This is what motivates me. Thanks.
Hi everyone, my name is Caitlin Padgett and I'm from Vancouver, Canada, and I work with an organization called Crystal Clear, and we're an organization of current and former rejection drug users that do peer education and outreach, mostly in the streets, to other youth who need that information. And I'm here basically with the belief that all youth deserve to have their human rights met, whether they're street-involved, queer youth, injection drug users, youth living with HIV, and thanks for being here.
Hi. I'm Emeka Ikwesimba from Nigeria, but I study here in Canada. I work with the United Nations Association in Canada here and the Carleton University AIDS Awareness Society. The world faces a disease with an effect at a level never experienced before. The youths are the most affected. I am motivated by the belief that we all have the right to live and actualize our dreams without being cut short by the fangs of HIV/AIDS. Thank you for coming.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Joël Vengo.
I'm from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and I work with the World Youth Coalition Against HIV/AIDS. What motivates me to be here today is for a long time, during many conferences, nobody said that youth were at the answer of the center of the response. Whereas in fact, I believe we have to go beyond this, and concrete actions have to be taken to support youth. Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Yodraga Stefanovska and I'm come from the Republic of Macedonia. I'm an NGO activist and president of the youth selection at an NGO called MIA. That's the oldest NGO fighting HIV/AIDS in the country. And also I'm a proud focal point for the Global Youth Coalition of HIV/AIDS in Macedonia. I was born in a world in which every 15 seconds a young person gets infected with HIV. But I was raised to believe and to fight for a world in which will be free from HIV and AIDS. My work was and will be and is dedicated in building the next step towards this world. Thank you.
Thank you. Greetings. I am Keisha Evs. I'm from the Sunshine Island called Jamaica. I am the Jamaica Commonwealth Youth Ambassador for Positive Living. I am a member of Advocates for Youth and also a member of International Planned Parenthood Federation. What drives my passion to join the fight against HIV/AIDS is the unprecedented fact that we're all vulnerable.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Zufi Gbeso. I'm from Benin, and I am part of a group which has developed a project on sexual health and on reproduction for youth and adolescents. We deal with HIV/AIDS. I'm here to exchange my ideas and my experience with other peers, and I'm also here to get some experience and learn from other people regarding sexual health. I'm here to learn from adults as well. I'm very pleased to see all the leaders here before for me, and I'm very pleased to hear that they will listen to us.
Hello. I'm Damaris Perez Valladares. I'm from El Salvador, and thanks to the support of Plan International, I'm here. One of an important motivation for me is to get to know more about HIV/AIDS and then replicate that information and convey it to my peers. So I also want to hear important things and take them from here to Latin America. The information we have is not as reliable as we'd wish, and not timely. I'm talking about the information that we, the youth, require. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Joya Banerjee from the U.S. I'm the program coordinator of the Global Youth Coalition on HIV/AIDS. And HIV/AIDS was discovered 1 year before I was born, but young people, my peers, still don't know how to protect themselves from HIV/AIDS. So I believe in working in partnership with decision makers and adults to ensure that young people already working in HIV/AIDS have the skills and resources they need to really scale up interventions so that every young person knows how to protect themselves from HIV/AIDS and has the resources to treat and care for themselves and their peers. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Goodman Kowola Adeoju from Nigeria. I'm 11 years old. I'm the executive director and the representative of Live Alive Foundation. HIV/AIDS are the fun living with people from 25 years ago. People, especially children and women, are living with HIV/AIDS. Still, they don't still know how to protect themselves. I am here to teach people on how to live a good life about HIV, especially people living with HIV/AIDS. That's why I need my foundation, Live Alive Foundation. Thank you.
So, welcome to the high-level leadership forum, From Rhetoric to Action, Defining a Stronger Role for Youth in National and International Policies. We will examine how young people can influence national and international settings by being more actively engaged in decision-making, implementation, and accountability. Despite many national and international policies and programs for youth, they are rarely determined by youth. We have of new infections occurring among young people, over 6,000 new infections a day. Over 1,000 youth have come to Toronto to make their voices heard, more than double than Bangkok. Coming from all countries of the world, the young leaders will ask the world leaders why 25 years later they are still not getting the appropriate information, education, supplies. This is a year of meaningful participation from youth. We're really excited you're all here and hoping to challenge the world leaders and their commitment. Thank you all for coming. Now I'm going to introduce the Honorable Josep Berner, Minister of International Cooperation and Minister for La Francophonie in Official Languages. Josep Berner was first elected as a Member of Parliament in January 2006 from the riding of Louise and Lorraine, and then appointed as a Minister of International Cooperation and Minister for La Francophonie and Official Languages in Prime Minister's Harper's Cabinet. Mrs. Berner has spent close to 20 years in the communications and public services fields. She has worked for former Quebec Premier Robert Bourassa and for the Deputy Speaker of Quebec National Assembly and worked closely with the Ministry of Health. Mrs. Berner is deeply involved in her community and has spent a significant amount of time fundraising for the Children's Make-A-Wish Foundation. Please.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor for me to host this huge forum as part of AIDS 2006 because I firmly believe young people are crucial in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Before I begin, I want to thank the organizers of this forum, young people like you, who have invested their time, their creative energy, and their souls to develop and find youth-oriented solutions to the AIDS pandemic. C'est la première fois qu'un si grand nombre de jeunes se rencontrent pour discuter des répercussions du VIH-Sida sur leur père.
Je suis on their peers. I'm convinced that the energy that you will invest in this meeting will bear fruit. You will establish a basis which will allow many more youth to participate in decision-making regarding HIV/AIDS policies and programs. I believe that the increased participation of youth is essential to the development of solutions for the future. As Canada's Minister of International Cooperation, I hope that many more Canadian youth participate in the international effort to fight HIV/AIDS. The efforts of the Canada's International Development Agency's youth partners cannot be overestimated. I know that many of these partners are present here today, and I'd like to take advantage of this to thank them for the incredible work that they've done.
That young people are severely affected by the HIV/AIDS pandemic. The United Nations Population Fund documents the following troublesome evidence. All new HIV infections are among people aged 15 to 24. About 6,000 young people around the world every day become infected with the disease. That's more than 5 young people every minute. And we know that AIDS can be prevented. Knowing that, what are there still more people infected every day? Much of the problem is fueled by poverty and lack of information and prevention services. Young people need the information to make the right decisions and the right choices for their future. They need to understand that AIDS is serious. It's still a fatal disease. They need youth-oriented and youth-friendly services. They need to be supported by their peers, their family, and their community. Young people around the world form a very diverse group, but they are all dynamic, creative, and able to adapt to just about anything. These are some of the qualities we need to win the fight against HIV/AIDS. Tangible and long-lasting results are possible. But they will be achieved only if young people assist in the development of the strategies, awareness campaigns, and projects put forward. So, young people must be part of this global campaign. They need to be at the table. Canada is committed to playing a leader role in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Leadership has no age limit. Remember that being young doesn't mean that you cannot be a leader. Their concerns and ideas must be heard. The Youth Forum is a place where that can happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister Werner, for a welcome speech for Canada to our delegates and leaders. I am now honored to introduce Mr. Julien Bond, Chairman of the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People. Julien Bond has been an active participant in the movements for civil rights, economic justice, a veteran for more than 20 years service in Georgia General Assembly, a university professor, a writer. He has been on the cutting edge of social change since 1960. He was a founder in this year while a student at Morehouse College of the Atlanta Student Sit-in and Anti-Segregation Organization and of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. He was co-chair of a challenge delegation from Georgia to the 1968 Democratic Convention. The challengers were successful in unseating Georgia's regular Democrats, and Bond was nominated for vice president but had to decline because he was too young. Bond serves on various advisory boards, including the Diversity Council, Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Council for a Livable World, as well as the Harvard Business School Initiative on Social Enterprise, among many others. He is a commentator on America's Black Forum. He has served since 1998 as chairman of the board of the NAACP, the oldest and largest civil rights organization in the United States. Please, Mr. Bond.
Thank you. When the introductions were being made earlier in this program by the younger people sitting in back of the panelists, the thought struck me that I was the oldest person on the stage. And looking out at the audience, composed almost entirely of younger people, I'm reminded of my father, who would stand shaking his finger at me saying, "When I was your age." Well, I'm going to tell you what I did when I was your age. I am a child of the 1960s, that period when young people like yourselves in the Americas, in Europe, in Asia, became a potent political force. For me, it was in the southern United States. I lived in an apartheid society where whites and blacks were separated by law and by custom, and where black people had no rights that white people were bound to respect. But I also lived in a protest community where women and men in churches and schools and organizations had struggled for years and years against racial injustice. But in that community, it was typically older persons, adults, who carried on the struggle. But in 1960, a great struggle arose worldwide among young people, and I found myself in the middle of it. I was a college student. I was sitting one day in a cafe where we used to go between classes or instead of classes, and a young man approached me with a newspaper that said Greensboro students sit in for third day. And he asked me if I had seen it, and I said yes. And he said, "Don't you think this ought to happen here in Atlanta, Georgia, where we are?" I said, "I'm sure someone will do it." And he said, "Why don't we do it?" And I said, "What do you mean, we?" And he said, "You take this side of the cafe, and I'll take the other side, and we'll gather together other students, and we'll begin a movement in Atlanta like that movement in Greensboro, North Carolina." And I joined that movement, as did thousands upon thousands upon thousands of other young black and white people in the southern United States. And over time, through mighty struggle, we won some victories. Now, the struggle against AIDS and HIV is both different and the same. It is different because my generation faced restrictive racial laws that separated the races. There are no laws that say you will have AIDS and you will not. But it is the same because then there were customs and superstitions and prejudices and ignorance as there are now. And these decide who will have the virus, who will receive medicine, who will receive treatment, who will live, and who will die. Now, my generation struggled against the laws, and we won many victories, but we didn't win them all, and we didn't win the big battle against ignorance. That is your challenge, and here I'm my father again. That is your challenge. We faced police dogs and billy clubs and fire hoses and imprisonment, but you face a greater evil, prejudice, ignorant, and most of all, a lack of will. I come from a nation, one of the world's leaders in contributing funds and resources against the spread of AIDS, but a nation which has failed its own people in providing treatment and access to medicines. And my nation, you know, one reason this conference is being held in Canada is because my nation has passed laws against admitting people with AIDS to the United States. And so this conference has decided that it will no longer meet in my nation. But we, then in the past, my generation, like your generation, has one great weapon. You have truth on your side. And you have, as we had, the conviction that our cause was just and right. Everywhere in the world, we are seeing generational challenges and changes. Today, the organization whose board I chair, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, composed of people of all races and all ages, and I want to ask our health director, Maisha Patterson, who is a young person. We don't all have gray hair. Stand up, Maisha, so you can see her. And my organization is doing what we can through activism, through advocacy, through education, and by all means necessary to fight this dread disease. But it's not enough. So I want to thank all of you for your commitment. We depend on you to take this fight forward and to make sure that 25 years from now, your children will not be sitting where you are sitting, fighting a fight you did not fight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bond, for taking your time with us. Unfortunately, Mr. Bond has another engagement now. Thank you for taking your time with us and speaking about how young people can mobilize and create movements and have meaningful participation in policies and decision-making and really make a difference. It's a shame, but he has to leave. I will now introduce the other global speakers and the young leaders. First, the Honorable Dr. Frank, the Minister of Health in Mexico, Secretario de Salud de Mexico. Minister Julio Frank is currently the Minister of Health Mexico. He has held this position since December 2000. During this period, Mr. Frank has led the implementation of an innovative action plan to promote equity, quality, and social protection for all. In addition to strengthening public health programs, his central contribution has been an ambitious reform to provide universal health insurance. This initiative is expanding access to quality care and financial protection for 50 million Mexicans, most of them poor, who had been previously excluded from social insurance. Prior to his present position, Dr. Frank served as Executive Director in charge of evidence and information for policy in the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. His previous posts include the Executive Vice President of the Mexican Health Foundation, the director of its Center for Health and the Economy, and the founding director general of the National Institute of Public Health of Mexico. In addition to his executive positions, Dr. Frank has had an extensive career in research, teaching, and writing, including writing two best-selling novels for youngsters explaining the functions of the human body. His research has focused on health systems, an area in which he has made several contributions. He has also worked on the relationship between globalization and health. In summary, Dr. Frank has gained substantial experience over a 25-year career covering leadership positions in all major aspects of public health, research, teaching, independent policy analysis, institution building, international cooperation, and national public service.
Buenos días a todas y a todos. Bonjour, c'est un plaisir d'être ici à Canada. Thank you all for this opportunity to interact with you who are the next generation who will be facing and dealing with what is undoubtedly the greatest public health challenge of our times. I would like to very briefly share with you some reflections based on the experience in my country fighting HIV/AIDS and also some reflections on the essential role of young leaders. My main message is that young persons have an essential role to play as we strive to curb the HIV/AIDS epidemic. You must be part of the solution rather than the problem. Now, how can we mobilize the potential of young persons in this vital mission? It seems to me that a comprehensive strategy to fight HIV/AIDS must be based on three pillars: prevention, universal access to comprehensive care, including antiretroviral therapy, and thirdly, the fight against discrimination and stigma through an approach that's based on human rights. Each of these three pillars has to be adapted to the specific circumstances of young persons. And in particular, adolescence and young adulthood offer a precious window of opportunity to develop a solid foundation for prevention. But it seems to me, as we've heard some of our young leaders say before, that a big challenge we have is that many young persons underestimate the risk of infection and are exposed to a number of risk factors that may eventually lead to infection by the HIV. Drug abuse, and through that acquiring the infection, unhealthy sexual practices as well. Let me focus of all of this on specifically the need to have a prevention strategy that is based on providing sexual education that is informed by scientifically derived evidence. I think that sound sexual education should be focused on three objectives. First, to prevent sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV/AIDS. Secondly, to prevent unwanted pregnancies, which happens to be a huge problem, both in rich and in poor countries. This is one of those problems that affect practically every country in the world. And third, apart from the prevention of infection and the prevention of unwanted pregnancies, providing a healthy approach to a key dimension of personal development. In sum, I think the purpose of this key tool, which is sexual education, must be not just to transmit information, but to promote healthy sexual behavior and attitudes. In particular, this approach of scientifically derived sexual education can be a major instrument to promote respect, tolerance, acceptance of diversity, which may later in life contribute to a reduction in sexual violence and in discrimination. I really would very much like to know your views on this particular area of sexual education. In my own country, in Mexico, we have worked very closely, the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Education, and civil society organizations to promote recently a high-profile program for high school students, which includes major contents regarding sexual and reproductive health based on scientific evidence. Of course, this is always controversial in society, but I think as long as we provide this approach, that's on the one hand informed by scientific evidence and on the other inspired by a human rights perspective that promotes tolerance, respect, and the fight against violence, I think we can move ahead in every society. Our program is designed by experts in consultation with representatives of the target population, that is young persons, and its impact on knowledge, behavior, and attitudes is being assessed so that it can be adjusted. I am convinced that it is necessary to involve young leaders in the design and implementation of public policies, leading with the problems that affect them the most. Mexico has taken this challenge very seriously and is developing actions which include intersectorial interventions to make young persons aware of the risk of certain lifestyles, but at the same time empower them through education, counseling, and participation of civil society. Of course, a further strategy is to promote the establishment of mutual support group among young persons. And I'm very happy that we have a representation here from Mexico. Let me finish by telling all of you, you probably know, in 2008, in 2 years, Mexico will be the host of the next International AIDS Conference. And I would very much like, from this very moment, to set for ourselves a challenge that just like in Toronto, we doubled the presence of young persons regarding Bangkok, then in Mexico we doubled it again. If we are to overcome this, which is the greatest public health challenge facing humankind, we must all work together. You, the young persons, are not only the future, you're already the present in this common endeavor. Thank you very much.
Gracias al Dr. Frank. Now we have Her Excellency Xiomara Castro de Celaya, First Lady of Honduras. Xiomara Castro de Celaya, born in Olancho, Honduras, has been the First Lady of Honduras since 27 January 2006. Since the beginning of her period as First Lady, she has focused her work on promoting strategic actions oriented at strengthening the national response in HIV/AIDS, including universal access to prevention, treatment, and care, with a special emphasis on women and youth. In June 2006, Mrs. Celaya spearheaded the establishment of a coalition of First Ladies and women leaders of Latin America to increase the visibility of women's vulnerability to the epidemic. She has one of the world leaders who actively participated in the high-level meeting of the United Nations on HIV/AIDS in New York in June of this year. Under her leadership, the National Youth Institute was established, the first such institute in the history of Honduras. The new Youth Institute has been created as testimony to the government's desire to increase investment in youth and coordinate efforts in favor of young people's development. Please.
Muy buenos días.
Good morning. Firstly, I would like to thank this opportunity that has been given to participate in this youth forum, and I would like to congratulate the organizers for their initiative, whereby we will not only share ideas, but what's most important, we will undertake commitments to take concrete action so that the world can be more fair for current generations as well as future generations. You, the youth, are the greatest hope for humanity in the struggle against HIV/AIDS. In Honduras, 64% of the population is under 29 years of age. Our country is a young country, and it's the youth that are most affected by this epidemic. Poverty, inequality, gender inequality, violence, unemployment, the stigma and discrimination, in addition to social cultural practices that are linked to the private areas of life. These increase vulnerability and also HIV infection among the youth. This is the case in my country as well as throughout the world. We have to underscore the fact that young women and girls are doubly vulnerable. In addition to all of this, there is limited access to education and user-friendly services in sexual and reproductive health, and this favors the spread of the disease. We have to educate our youths about HIV/AIDS and teach them how to solve conflicts and how to come up with critical opinions and to know how to communicate. All of this increases the level of self-assurance and the ability to make decisions. This strengthens us when we have to face the epidemic. As First Lady, I've undertaken the commitment of looking after, of protecting our youth, advocating the right to information, decisions, and the promotion of human values. We're making a very important national effort in order to weave a social culture based on solidarity. We're struggling and we're facing poverty in order to revert the vulnerability factors that prevent our youth from reaching a better standard of living. We know that for prevention programs and HIV/AIDS prevention programs, for these programs to be efficient, the youth has to participate in the development and implementation of these programs. Our government has created, at a ministerial level, the National Youth Institute, which works as a space for the youth to exchange ideas and also to establish and develop state policies affecting the youth. We think it's very important to involve the population when it comes to protecting their own rights and encourage the youth to become involved in the decision-making process for the development of the country. If governments don't value or trust the ideas, and we don't believe in the generosity of our youth, then the world will have no opportunities, no progress, and no future. On behalf of Honduras, and personally, I would like to call upon you to undertake a political commitment with a view to work with strategic allies to obtain the resources, financial and human resources, to prevent the epidemic. I would like to call upon all states to develop policies, that is, public policies, in order to respond to the social consequences of this problem that affects humanity as a whole. I would like to call upon all adults throughout the world to demonstrate their willingness to confront difficult issues and to create an environment in which we can talk about HIV/AIDS in a different way, in a different light, not secretly, not ashamedly, but openly and responsibly. We know that the challenge is very big, but we have no alternative. It is now or never the time for us to act, and for our young people. It is you who have the talent, the energy, the propulsion that will bring about changes in the present and to establish the future, the basis of the future, without shame, without discrimination, free of threats from HIV/AIDS. Thank you very much.
Gracias, excelentísima primera dama de Honduras.
Now we have Dr. Piot, Executive Director, Joint United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS, UNAIDS, and Undersecretary General of the United Nations, Executive Director of UNAIDS since its creation in 1995, and Undersecretary General of the United Nations. Dr. Pierre Piot comes from a distinguished academic and scientific career focusing on AIDS and women's health in the developing world. Using his skills as a scientist, manager, and activist, Dr. Piot has challenged world leaders to vision AIDS within the realms of social and economic development, as well as security. Under his leadership, UNAIDS has become the chief advocate for worldwide action against AIDS. It has brought together 10 organizations of the United Nations system around a common agenda on AIDS, spearheading UN reform. In the 1980s, Dr. Piot launched and expanded a series of collaborative projects in countries across Africa. Project SIDA in Kinshasa, Zaire, as the first international project on AIDS in Africa, and is widely acknowledged as having provided the foundations of our understanding in HIV infection in Africa. He was a professor of microbiology and of public health, and also with the World Health Organization. Thank you, Mr. Piot.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. This conference comes in a crucial year in the history of AIDS. There's still young history, 25 years. But AIDS is coming of age. 25 years is supposed to be an adult age already. In 25 years, AIDS has become one of the make-or-break issues of our time. It is now in the same league as global issues like global warming, massive poverty, and so on. And therefore, it requires a truly exceptional response. And with business as usual, I know what will happen. It will get worse and worse and worse. But the conference also comes at a time when the response to AIDS is changing fundamentally in nature. Last May, traditionally, we gave our traditional report in UNAIDS and on the state of the epidemic and also the state of the response. And for the first time since I'm in this job, we could demonstrate that there are true results for people on the ground in the fight against AIDS. We see more and more countries in about all regions, except I would say in Central Asia and in Eastern Europe, more and more countries where less people become infected than before. And it's nearly always among young people that we see that decline. Young people who we adults often describe as being irresponsible. Now, the toughest job in HIV prevention that we have is to make older men change their behavior. It's not young people adopt safer behavior. That has now been demonstrated over and over again. So this is a good result, a beginning of success, but there is no success story in AIDS as yet. And also, let's not forget, as we heard, that 50% worldwide of all new infections are among young people. And when we go in some countries, such as the countries in Eastern Europe, it can be 60, 70, 80%. There's also good progress in terms of access to antiretroviral therapy, including in the countries my friends and colleagues in the panel here, where we can say that in Mexico this kind of universal access to antiretroviral therapy. Honduras has made great progress. And so 1.5 million people now in poor countries are on antiretroviral therapy. So the conference comes at a time when I believe we should change our strategy and our approach in the fight against AIDS. Up to now, mostly We've been very reactive. It has been crisis management, often haphazard crisis management. But now we've got to start including a long-term perspective, and the sustainability of our efforts is going to be important. So this afternoon, the title of my speech in the opening ceremony will be The Next 25 Years. Because that's what it will take, another generation at least, to bring this epidemic fully under control. Anybody who tells you that the end is in sight, I don't think has thought through completely what the challenge that we are facing at the moment. And I hope that this conference will really focus on these issues of sustainability, of longer-term approaches, because that's about your next 25 years, and it's about the next generation, those who are being born today, who are also growing up in a world living with HIV. It means that we need to not only, in the first place, maintain the political momentum that is there. Because let's be clear, without strong leadership at all levels, this is not only the top in the country, and I would really like to salute the work of the First Lady of Honduras, because that's the kind of leadership that is going to make a difference. Through peer pressure, peer education is not only something for kids, for adolescents, it's also among presidents and ministers of health and business people and bishops and what have you. And that can make a difference. But maintaining that political momentum is going to be crucial, because we know that the half-life of political interest can be very short. But if we approach AIDS on a basis of fiscal year, an annual basis, we're doomed to fail. All the people who are under antiretroviral therapy today will need treatment 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. Unless there is some, by some miracle, there will be a true cure, which means you take drugs and then you can stop taking the treatment. But we are not there yet, and it's not in sight. So this political momentum is going to be crucial. And this is where strong action from you, from youth, is going to be key. Because it's about your future. It's somewhat about the future of my generation as well. Secondly, we need to make sure that prevention, HIV prevention, is back on the agenda. For many years, governments, international organizations were saying only prevention and no treatment for those living with HIV. That is on the agenda now, treatment. But what I'm seeing is, in many countries, good progress on treatment, access, but kind of slipping off the agenda of HIV prevention. And I know why that is the case. The reasons for that is that we've got to face unpleasant realities, unpleasant for some people. We need to touch on the very existential issues of our own lives and of that in communities. And that concerns, in the first place, also young people. You can really be there and not make the same mistakes as my generation and make sure that your generation will be the first generation in the 21st century that is an HIV-free generation. Thirdly, we must get serious about the drivers of this epidemic. Of course, we need science and technology. That brings us the drugs, that brings us exactly what to do, hopefully a microbicide soon, and so on. But that's only one leg of our walk to success. The other leg we have to walk on is one of social change. If we don't address the drivers of this epidemic, which are the discrimination of women, we heard it from the First Lady, the gender disparity, the stigma and discrimination associated with HIV, homophobia, which is so prevalent all over the world, the inequalities, injustices, in economic and social terms, if we're not tackling them as well, I think we have no chance of stopping this epidemic. So we need a very bold agenda to stop this epidemic. How can we get to an HIV-free generation? That will depend on the work of many, many actors. And yes, I strongly believe in partnerships, but I think we need an optimal balance here between a partnership and between activism. Partnerships don't spontaneously emerge. They are there because of social struggle. And this is why the voice of you, of young people, is key. So our first priority, as far as I'm concerned, is making sure that young people can be at the table when decisions are made about young people, that the space is there. And I think that's where this conference is really pioneering. And I was happy to hear from Julio Frank that in Mexico it will even be better. But I know that in countries, when a national plan against AIDS is made, that it's very rare that young people are around the table, even if maybe even the first paragraph may say young people are the most vulnerable and so on and so on. So this is what we will really fight for. Secondly, we need to make sure that all AIDS programs pass the youth test. Does this work for young people? Is this realistic for young people? Does it mean that young people also will have access to condoms and to services? Because that's not the case. It's not enough to have that as an item in the plan. We need also to create the cultural, legal, and other environment that it makes possible. Thirdly, we need, as I said, we need to go into the drivers of this epidemic. That should also mean zero tolerance for sexual exploitation, zero tolerance for abuse. And this means that we need to have some fundamental changes in how adults are behaving, because that's not under control of young people. That is something that older people, particularly older men, will have to deal with. And my final point is something for boys and men and young men. The future of this epidemic is in our hands, is in the hands of boys and men, the first place, whether it's men who have sex with men or men who have sex with women. And as long as we don't change our behaviors and put girls and women at risk, again, it's not going to work. So this is not just some mechanistic type of thing to bring AIDS under control. It's about fundamental changes. So these are the things that I personally bring up when I meet with leaders. Often it's the first time they're confronted with these issues, but it's the agenda that we in the United Nations system, that we're trying to promote. Many agencies doing their own thing. We're trying to bring it together so that at the end of the day, these are not programs of a specific agency. These are programs of young people supported by us in the UN system. And that's why I believe it's really important that you continue to challenge us, and that we will make sure that whenever there are global and international and regional events, that you will be at the table. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Piot. Now we're starting the discussion, and we're starting with Demaris Perez from El Salvador. Demaris, go ahead. You have a microphone? ¿Tienes micrófono?
Bueno. Durante la preconferencia, nosotros los jóvenes identificamos que el acceso a educación integral, sexual y reproductiva tiene un papel importante dentro del involucramiento y las evidencias que se tiene dentro del campo político y público.
Political arena and among the public in general. Therefore, this is important to reduce the spread of HIV/AIDS. So this question would be for Don Julio. What is your financial commitment and political commitment in order to deal with these issues and in order to achieve considerable progress before the conference that will be held in your country in 2008? Thank you for the question. I agree totally. And in fact, the central issue of in my speech had to do with underscoring the importance of sexual and reproductive education among the youth. For us, this has been a very important priority, and it's one of the specific important instruments that we have at our disposal, not just to disseminate scientific information, but also to establish the basis for a comprehensive development of people in terms of sexuality, but also to change attitudes and set the basis in the struggle against discrimination, sexual discrimination, and promote tolerance. These are the essential elements of public policies that promote sexual and reproductive education. So I think it's excellent that during the pre-conference the youth identified this priority, because I agree completely with you that this is one of the instruments. Dr. Piot was saying that universal access to treatment is an essential part of the right that people should have. We should have synergy between prevention, treatment, and the struggle against discrimination. Policies must balance all three aspects, which feed each other. And I think that when it comes to prevention, sexual education at an early stage, based on scientific information, directed towards tolerance, human rights, is key. So we will ensure that this issue will be dealt with, will be covered during the conference.
Respond to the minister's frank response as someone from Mexico.
Well, I admit, I'd like to congratulate Dr. Frank. We have progressed considerably in general health treatment, but also in terms of reproductive and sexual health in our country. It's very important. What he mentioned is very important, I mean, in relation to sexual education, but also the question led to your do you think that there is a commitment at a government level to promote decision making among the youth? Because we're not only asking for money, we don't want the resources to be directed towards the youth. I think there is a commitment. I would like to congratulate you for the commitment that you've undertaken, and I do hope that there will be greater youth involvement during the conference in Mexico in 2008. It's very difficult to generalize and confirm the fact that there is a commitment. There are many differences in our country. What I can tell you is that it cannot be concessions made by adults towards the youth. It has to be a space that's achieved, that's gained by the youth. we've transformed, we've changed the structure of the National Council for the Fight Against HIV/AIDS to include civil society as full members, not just as observers, full members with the right to vote. There are some organizations that deal with youth. And this is what I would like to point out. This was the result of the work carried out by civil society. Organizations such as yours have created those spaces. So as we build democratic societies where people do have a voice, this is not a concession, but it's a space that the civil society has won for itself. What remains is the strength of civil society, and this is our obligation in a democratic government. It's to listen and feedback and be accountable towards society. So this will happen. This will work out as long as you participate and governments will assign resources to the organizations that do reflect the essential problems of the youth.
Miodraga from Macedonia. You have a question for the First Lady of Honduras.
Thank you. Your Excellency, each day, more than 10,000 young people of our world under the age of 25 get infected with HIV. More than 50% of those are women and girls. Still, none of them have been cured until this date. I ask you as a woman and as a leader, how do you see the future of women and young girls in this world? And how would you use your position in order to influence the creation of spaces, policies, and opportunities for women to make to be less vulnerable to HIV/AIDS? Thank you.
Excellent. Hago una traducción porque tenemos pocos problemas
yes.
con
if you could, I'm going to translate this now. Every day, people under 25 are infected with AIDS. Over 50% are young women and girls. None has been cured. How do you see the future of women in our world? And how do you see our position and your ability to establish policies so that women and girls are less vulnerable in relation to this disease? Well, thank you very much. I would like to say that over 51% of people infected in my country are women. And this, of course, makes us think about these issues. Our involvement, and particularly as a First Lady, our participation should be much more efficient. The fact that we have taken a more open position in our country in order to map out this problem that doesn't affect only Honduras but the entire world, this is what has given us the possibility, has allowed us to establish a coalition of First Ladies and women leaders in Latin America. I think it's very important that these women should participate in politics and to discuss issues of that level, the need of taking immediate measures, protection measures, particularly for women, for girls, for young women. This allows us not only seek for solutions within our country, but also throughout Latin America. The fact that we're inviting the First Ladies and women leaders of Latin America, we actually will have a meeting in Panama, and we're doing this to not only to discuss things, not only to listen, but to be involved. We have to be active, and this is what's missing, what's lacking right now, to put forth proposals, be active. And maybe this is too strong a word, to eradicate HIV/AIDS in our country. I think we can do that, but we have to join all together in the effort. And this is what we're seeking through this coalition of women.
Keisha from
now,
is there anything else we need to think
Keisha.
About in terms of vulnerabilities of young women?
Certainly. Thank you. Just before I respond, Your Excellency, I take this opportunity to applaud you for making the day's super powerful statement in your opening remarks. I quote, "Youth are the greatest hope to humanity in the fight against HIV/AIDS," end of quote. To date, there is no vaccine for HIV/AIDS, and a vaccine for HIV/AIDS is not forthcoming in the near future. However, there are currently trials being carried out on the development of preventative technologies such as microbicides. My question, Your Excellency, is, to what extent are you prepared to support evidence-based scientific discoveries and research of new technologies that will reduce or totally eradicate the transmission of STIs and HIV among women, particularly young women? Thank you.
Excelentísima primera dama. No sé si ya sirve la traducción.
I don't know if the interpreting service is working now. Well, first, they congratulated you, and they also... well, they congratulated you for your work, and Keisha was saying that there is still no vaccine for HIV, and the... one is not in sight yet. However, discussions are underway in relation to how far are you prepared to use current scientific evidence to reduce the prevalence of these diseases, particularly HIV, among women. Our position is the following: to support fully these initiatives. Now, what we're going through currently in many Latin American countries is that the retroviral medication is very costly for the people in our developing countries. We have been able to see that despite the efforts made, the efforts of our own government in our country to get these medications, we haven't been able to attend to the people that do need the medication. Just about 56% of people infected with HIV/AIDS are currently under treatment in my country, and we have a long way to go. I think that we should make an effort, a joint effort, within the regions in order to establish policies that will help make medication more accessible. Most of the people affected, most of the people infected by HIV are people who are extremely poor, and purchasing these medications brings about lots of hardship. It's too costly. So we hope that we will be able to establish mechanisms in order to eradicate this disease, and anything that leads in that direction will have our support. Thank you very much.
Dr. Dio, this question's for you. Sophie from Benin wants to ask.
Merci.
Thank you very much. Once again, I'd like to thank all the leaders here, in particular Dr. Piot, for listening to my question. We know that in reality discrimination and stigmatization is a reality for youth who live with the virus, but youth at risk, in particular those who may be homosexual or people who are sex workers or drug users, are more stigmatized. We do know that these people, they get affected by IV drug use. They're all discriminated against. So as a doctor, as a decision maker, and as a leader, what are you doing to ensure that young people throughout the world have access to treatment and to condoms, and in particular to their use?
Merci, Sophie.
Thank you very much, Sophie, for your question. In fact, your question really goes to the heart of the problem with the fight against AIDS. On the one hand, you have to fight against discrimination and stigma, and they're actually at the basis of this entire epidemic. But at the same time, you have to work on prevention and access to treatment, and the stigma and discrimination makes this very difficult. So how do you find the most at-risk people? How do you help them? Well, here's what we do. First of all, I'd like to ensure that when I personally meet with leaders, a leader of any country, I immediately put this difficult question on the table. I want to raise an awareness of the importance of access to medication, to condoms, or to clean syringes. For example, in the northeast of India, the epidemic mainly affects young drug users. When I take Eastern Europe or Central Asia, there the epidemic mainly hits drug users, IV drug users. So, within UNAIDS, we are all about creating a safe and secure space for youth and for people living with HIV. I think Frika from Indonesia earlier said that our bureau in Jakarta, like the bureau in Bangladesh, for example, is a space where youth living with HIV can meet, can discuss, and plan their actions together. I also believe you should support the network of youth who live with HIV, because even in countries where there are networks of people living with HIV, often youth are not at the decision table, at the discussion table. So we have to create things specifically for youth. There's also the whole issue of access to condoms. The UN FPA has said recently that this is one of its main priorities, which is to ensure access to condoms. I'd like to say finally, with regards to discrimination, in my opinion, there's no point in simply saying, well, you shouldn't discriminate. I think, in fact, you have to use a media which focuses on youth. That would be music or sports. I think that would be the media to use. So our most spectacular partnership has been UNAIDS and MTV. With the MTV Staying Alive program, we've passed on messages to the 1 million youth to fight stigma and to fight discrimination. And this is a type of partnership that can be developed with other radio stations or TV stations around the world. Thank you.
Caitlin from Canada, what would you add from her perspective?
Thank you so much. And we just wanted also to thank you for those of us that were there at the youth reception last night. You've had a really strong presence here in terms of speaking to youth, so thank you very much. And I was really encouraged to hear you say the words condom and syringes and things like that, because I think as young people, we hear a lot of the rhetoric and we listen a lot to, or we try to read international documents and declarations, and it doesn't speak to us. It's not our language. And so while you made a lot of really important points at the podium, there was certain words that were missing, and condoms and syringes were some of those words, needles, rigs, language that speaks to us, and that's one of the key messages from the youth force here is truth. And so we really appreciate you taking that step out there to speak our truth, to speak our language as young people. And I know we're running short on time, so I don't know if we have time for a response, but I guess other than through partnering with youth organizations, how will you commit at UNAIDS, like at the table at UNAIDS, to have language that is friendly to youth and to have youth who are at the table with you having those conversations that you're able to have access to that often we don't unless it's in a youth space?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I should say that the language of these international documents and so on is the language of nobody. I mean, I also get briefing points and talking points from within the organization, and I don't even understand what it means. So I think this is a real disease, and often there's a reason for that, and that is that many of these texts are the result of compromises where everybody wants to have their word and so on. But having said that, your point is well taken. I think what I try to do is that pushing the agenda of young people wherever I go in countries and say young people must be at the table. For me, it's as if we stay within our system, in the UN system, there is no future for real youth action if we stay within and talk among ourselves. That's why a strong alliance with mainstream youth organizations and youth action groups is very important, because young people sometimes go there, whether it's the UW, the YWCA, or the Girls Guides and Scouts, or groups of rappers, neighborhood groups, it doesn't matter, whoever reaches. What I think we should do is, like in all UN agencies, like something that UNFPA is doing, and have like internships, fellowships for young people who can spend some time in the organization. That's not only good for the young people who can benefit for that, that's will be also good for the organization, and being confronted with the on a daily basis with issues. I think basically the more you hold our feet to the fire, the better, so that we don't quote-unquote forget. But for me, the key is that in each country, the theme groups on HIV/AIDS, which bring together the UN system working on AIDS, should have a constant dialogue with young people and make sure that that message is incorporated in what they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Goldmark and Joya have a question directed to all three leaders. I'm going to have to ask you to be brief. We don't have much time, but this is a question for all you three.
Thank you. My question has already been somewhat addressed by each of you individually, but I wanted to emphasize that the theme of this session is from rhetoric to action. So I'm hoping that each of you can tell us what specific concrete commitment you will make to involving young people in your work and by when you will achieve this commitment. For example, that could be, as you mentioned, creating an internship program at UNAIDS. It could be encouraging conservative organizations or other governments to talk about injecting drug use, men who have sex with men, condoms, and sexual and reproductive health and rights, and sex workers. It could be making your clinics youth-friendly. So I'd like to hear a specific concrete commitment from each of you, and we will be following up with you on that. Thank you.
Hago la traducción para...
Yes, I would like to translate the question for the First Lady. Essentially, specifically, what is the commitment that will be undertaken in order to involve other organizations? And this has been asked, mentioned at the beginning of this conference, but what is the specific commitment that you will each make in relation to the youth? And then you did say that there would be a follow-up on these decisions affecting the youth.
Just following the order that we've had, I would say that I've been now minister for almost 6 years, and I think some of the commitments that were made at the beginning have been met. The sexual and reproductive education that I was talking about is a reality. Universal access to treatment, whereby all uninsured persons now get automatically enrolled in a new program that has allowed us to multiply by 14 the budget devoted to HIV/AIDS in my country, and a very, very strong campaign against discrimination and stigma that's even received some international awards. All of those are specific commitments, but I look forward now. And my specific commitment is what I said, to commit that for the 2008 International AIDS Conference to be held in Mexico, for which we're very, very enthusiastic about that, that we again double the presence of young persons, and that we start working right now with International AIDS Society and the other organizers of the next conference in assuring that you have a major voice in the design of the program, of the sessions, and a strong participation.
And I hope you will follow up on that.
Well, our commitment is, above all, to achieve through this coalition of women, first ladies and women leaders, that is, to establish, or rather to break that silence, that stigma, and to make a commitment to opening up more spaces for the youth to be involved, to participate, and to provide the young people with the education they need in order to face life. So this is our commitment. That's what we're working on.
Okay, my turn. First, yes, we will establish this year this internship for the, in the UNAIDS Secretariat. I can't engage the other organizations, but then we'll push for them. Secondly, is that what I feel, I'm very proud of is that in India, and India is not represented here in the, well, you are, yeah, India, New York, that where there was a massive youth forum, bring together young people, was about 4,000 from across the country, in a direct dialogue with the top leadership, including the Prime Minister and the chief ministers of many states, that we are going to organize that in other countries. Because I think that is brings it, the dialogue and action for youth to a level where decisions will be taken. And thirdly, that sounds bureaucratic, but we are going to finally make sure that we get our act together in the UN system in terms of a unified approach to issues around youth. Because that's not the case. So good practice starts at home. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As a youth leader, what are the roles in which we know we can eradicate HIV/AIDS? I mean, as a youth leader, because I know you are all youth leader, now, what ways can we use in eradicating HIV/AIDS in our society?
Well, I think, you know, the good thing is that any adult you find was a young person in the past. And hopefully you will all become adults and elderly people as well. So there is, we must build a bridge and build on the natural empathy. Sometimes adults need to be reminded that they were two young people. Maybe, as Julian Bond was saying, you should also put your finger at us and tell us, not just, you know, when I was your age, you should talk back to us and tell us, do you remember what you did? And try to build that empathy that comes not from discrimination because of youth, but actually the appreciation that we all were once in your position, and that we also had dreams, and we also fought for things, and that hopefully we have been honest to our own past as young persons. If you speak to that, then I think you can advocate your causes and generate, break this absurd idea that young people either are irresponsible or unexperienced, but that on the contrary, they are actually the driving force that can move the society ahead. And your organization, I mean the organization of young persons in civil society, I think is what really has to push governments, legislators and others, an organized force for the young persons in the country. This is why I like so much what you've done in this conference, because you have become an organized force to have us here answering, becoming more aware of your problems, and now, as you just made us do, commit to specific things and know that you will be following up. That's great, and I thank you for that.
Hago una pausa. Sé que la excelentísima primera dama se debe retirar. Le agradecemos muchísimo su presencia. Thank you very much. Dr. Pio, thank you.
4 points, maybe. One, know what you want, so have a strategy and some objectives. Two, speak truth to power, and don't take no for an answer. Three, organize, because as individuals, we are nothing, but as a group, and we can do and achieve many things. And four, make alliances that are strategic, because there are allies. And I think if you put all that together, you can move mountains. So that's, I count on you to do that as well. Thanks.
Emeka, for a final comment.
There are more than 1,000 of us youth gathered here at this conference from more than 150 countries representing different race, different color, different culture. There are millions of others who have risen to meet the challenges posed by HIV/AIDS. I stand to be one of them, and we all here seek to be one of those. How many of us must stand for our voices to be heard? How many more must die for our cries to be heard? This is the day. This is the time. We are united in our works, actions, and pains. This is the time to act. We implore you to rise to this occasion and stand in our own corner, because we are the running water fighting the burning flames of HIV/AIDS. We are the voices too of the children in the wilderness crying to be heard. We are here in solidarity beside you and with you as our leaders. What else will it take for you to hear our voice? What more can we do as youths? Truth, access, listen, money, these are the words from our hearts. Join us in this race against time. Thank you.
Well, as I said, we're a bit short of time, so I'll just say that I think this has been a fruitful dialogue between the global and the youth leaders. We hope the commitment made by the global leaders will stay with you for this week's conference and obviously for the future. And I look forward to meeting you all in Mexico in 2008. Thank you, Dr. Pio, Dr. Frank, And thank you all the young global leaders. Thank you. Thank you all for coming.